And so if you were to be able to describe your approach to God's word with a word, then what word would best describe that for you? Maybe it's like word like the hunter, right? I got to find one. I got to find a verse to grab hold of. And so you start leafing through. There's got to be something good in here somewhere. Maybe you're like the poker, right? Where you close your eyes. You laugh because it's true. And then you open it, and then you like, that's the one. That's the one right there. The day of building your walls will come. The day for extending your boundaries. That's God's will for my life, right there. And so maybe that's you. Maybe you're the poker. Maybe you're kind of like, you sit down, you're like, I should really read this from the beginning. Maybe I'll just skip ahead a little bit. And maybe I'll go here and then there, and then you're all over the place. Maybe it's sporadic. Maybe you possess a Bible somewhere. You're pretty sure you could find it if you needed to, but you don't really need it right now because life's pretty good. It's in an emergency. It's kind of like the defib paddles. In case of emergency, it's there. Resuscitate me. Give me a quick hit, a quick piece of truth, and I'm good to go again. And unfortunately, there's so many people that can fit into that. And yet, we have access to that. And sometimes people, you might come from a background, a religious tradition where it's just the guy up at the front in the fancy pink shirt that gets to read the Bible. And we're not really supposed to. We're not smart enough. We don't got time for that. That guy, he's got time for that. And so maybe that's part of the your understanding. It's for the professional guy to do that. And believe me, nobody's ever made the mistake of calling me professional. But so we want to just be able to take you through over these next 3 or 4 weeks about why reading the Bible is so very important. And I had no idea. I mean, I have an idea about what I want to do, but I had no idea why it was going to be so significant. And then until a couple of days ago, I was going through some files in my office and looking for something else entirely. And I came across this folder with these yellowed sheets in it. And they are from 30 years ago. That might seem like a long time. It seems like a long time to me. But I wish I had found these 3 months ago, because they're my devotions through the book of 1 Peter from 30 years ago. And so I started reading through them, and I thought, this is, God is amazing. God is amazing. And so here's one of the things I want to, and so my, this is, we all have these different approaches, and I wish I could tell you that I've been journaling for 30 years. I journal for about 5 days every 2 or 3 months over the course of maybe 30 years. I know there's lots of really good Christian merchandising to say, yeah, you should journal, and here's a really nice fancy journal, empty book for you to write things in with a cool picture of grapes on the front or something, right? I know that all that is available, and maybe really good Christians are supposed to journal, but let me just tell you, if you're looking for a way out, use me as an excuse. I'm not really good at it. However, it is interesting when you come upon something like this to look back. So here's my reflection. 1 Peter, this was my approach, and this is actually very consistent with the way I still approach the Bible. I write down the passage of Scripture. And the passage of scripture in this case is 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And so I read, then what's the part of that verse that stands out to me? It says, faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. And then I ask myself, what have I learned about God? What are the qualities of God that I discover? God is greater than trial and the source of grief I might encounter. My view should not be measured. My writing was terrible, so I'm sure this says something really good. my view should not be narrowed or lowered to the immediate, but focused on the assurance of my faith and the coming of Christ. Yeah, that's part of it. And then the last part that I write is, what's significant? How does that affect me? What's relevant to me in that? And I think this part really struck me. It says, in face of trials, I have to be able to look at what God would have me to learn from this experience rather than get down from it. I can't give Satan a foothold, for the Lord is refining and preparing me by stretching and increasing my dependence on him. That's what trials are for. I want to praise the Lord for my trials, that maybe he may be pleased with me when he ultimately is revealed. And I read that and I thought, God, you're amazing. I was a 20-year-old guy and just learning, getting started in my relationship with the Lord. And to realize, just as we sung, that God's promises are faithful and true, that those things that he was teaching me, which I barely understood, I've actually understand to realize all the more now. And boy, sure, I wish I had found that 3 months ago when before we started 1 Peter. But that was pretty cool to realize that. So today, very simply, I want to give you seven. If you're wondering, why should I? Maybe you're a resolution kind of person and you want to get into God's Word, and that's one of your resolutions this year. I want to give you seven immeasurable benefits for getting into trusting God's Word. And you might ask yourself, well, you know, every month we give these outlines to read through the Bible. We give you these devotion, these calendars that have verses in it, and you can actually read through the Bible. Every 3 months we give you the daily breads that help you get in touch with God through his Word, and we encourage that on a daily, regular basis. Why do you do all that? Here's, over the course of these 4 weeks, I wanted you to know why this is important. Not just that it's important. I want you to understand why it is. What are some of the benefits of trusting God and his Word? And the first thing is that God's wisdom is greater. God's wisdom is greater. You ask yourself this question: in how many different areas of your life do you look for wisdom? Do you look for information, for a way out, a way through? We need wisdom to make all kinds of decisions in our lives: money decisions, dating decisions, marriage decisions, school decisions, work decisions, friend decisions, social decisions, medical decisions, diet decisions, indulgent decisions, entertainment decisions. The need for wisdom is relentless. But here's how we often deal with that. We do maybe one of three things. We do what's easiest and convenient. We do whatever Google says. Hey, Google, right? And we do whatever our friends say. What would you do? But if God's wisdom is the greatest wisdom, then why do we leave it out? Or relegate it down the list to a last resort, or relegate it to a quick hit and hope a verse somehow appears that will magically get us through whatever circumstance we find ourselves in? If God's wisdom is greater, then wouldn't it be worth our while to take the time to get to know God's wisdom, to be familiar with it on a regular basis, so that in times of difficulty, we can learn to trust him? If we're doing those things during the regular course of our lives, and when difficulty comes, we're prepared. God has already prepared the way for us. And I think that was the reminder for me when I found that file. God was already preparing me for some of the trials that I would go through in my life. and to know that my greatest hope is the hope that I have in Jesus Christ. Secondly, that God's wisdom is eternally purposeful. It's eternally purposeful. Some might think that God's wisdom is dated or it's out of date, out of touch with the reality of current times. This is the 21st century. But the reminder from God is that his wisdom is timeless and has stood the test of time. It has been proven worthy and accurate and appropriate and powerful in many eras, to many people, in many diverse cultures, in many difficult circumstances. How can it not be good enough for you? It's eternally purposeful. And our issue, my issue at least, is sometimes when I'm in trouble, I look for a quick fix. Whatever gets me out of this now. And I think sometimes we even approach God's word like that. I think one of the dangers that we have in our culture is before you even come here, some of you even come here, you've listened to one or two messages already, Sunday messages. You might listen to one or two more. Who can't not listen to David Jeremiah on Sunday night? Now, I know you do. He's a good guy, by the way. I approve of David Jeremiah. I'm sure he cares. He listens to me all the time, too. I know. But here's the thing. You might listen to a couple before you get here. You might listen to one or two more today. And you're going to go through the course of your week. You're going to listen to three or four guys on a radio during the course of a day, maybe each day. You're going to go from here to here. You're going to read this little book, this little devotion over here in the morning, this little devotion over here in the night. And all you're doing, really, you're going this wide, this deep. You're not really learning anything. And my strong encouragement to you is stop it. Stop it. Learn to go deep in God's word. Because God's wisdom is transformational, and all you're trying to do is get a tattoo. It's a surface change. Learn to allow God's word to go deep within you. Take one of the things that I appreciated about being taught the word of God the way I was 30-some years ago was the idea of taking a passage and thinking about that passage over the course of a whole day and staying within that for the course of a day, for the course of a week, allowing it to dig deep into my life. And one of the things I want to encourage you to do, and we'll elaborate on this over the course of these next few weeks, is to allow the Spirit of God to teach you. Because God wants to bring change to your life. And if you're in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, in verse 6, it says, "We, however, speak a wisdom among the mature, but not a wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom is a mystery that has been hidden, that God has destined for our glory before time. None of the rulers of this age had understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory." And so the idea there Paul's talking about is God's word has the capacity, if you actually understand it, has the capacity to change what you might say or do or think naturally. Allow God's truth to shape your lives. Change the desires, change the cravings that you have that you often give into. Replace them with the hope that God's word instills as he anchors your life. Because you know this, that God's wisdom has been prepared with a deep love. He says, "However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things of God has prepared for those who love him." God's word is written for you. It's his love letter to you. It's written out of love. It's written for the purpose of love. It's written so that you can deeply understand him and his love for you. The Bible is God's main method of communication in these times. And the purpose of that is so that he can develop the intimacy of a relationship with you. And that develops as we grow in our capacity to seek him in his form of communication. We understand his love and we allow him to love through us. However, one of the reasons I think that we struggle, and as I look back on my life and I think of some of the times when I struggle and I try to kind of almost graph that out, is that we struggle when we rush into the Word looking for some kind of quick solution, some good advice, and we forget the relationship from which those words come from. I'm looking for a textual answer as opposed to listening to the voice of my Heavenly Father. Instead of slowing down, it would be like my son running through the house saying, "You got some good advice for me?" And I shout something out and he goes out the door. He never does that. He never does that. If he wants to talk, if he's going through something, he sits down with me, he says, "This is what I'm going through." I will laugh at him and then we'll have a conversation. And then he'll listen to that. He'll take the time to listen. He may not always necessarily agree, but he'll know that my perspective comes out of this relationship, my love for him. He just doesn't run in one door and run out the next, hoping to catch some kind of phrase thrown at him. And I think often, as I look back on my life, the things when I get in trouble, it's like I'm looking for some kind of bumper sticker phrase to get me through something, and I forget that these are words spoken by a loving Heavenly Father. And I gotta sit and I gotta listen to them. I gotta slow myself down to allow him to be at work in me. He wants to strengthen us. And I want you to notice here in verses 10 to 12, it says, "These are the things that God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches for all these things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us." The Spirit of God brings a revelation of God's truth. If we only look at this from an academic perspective, if we only look at it from a textual perspective, then we're going to miss out on so much more. But to know that God's Word has been specifically inspired and revealed to us by the work of His Holy Spirit is so important for us. It's not a textbook. Revelation is the awareness that God brings by His Spirit. God reveals Himself over time. God has revealed Himself in four significant ways. One, through nature, in the world that He created. Two, through direct revelation, where, you know, for instance, like Moses in the burning bush. And in fact, in a few weeks, we're gonna take a tour through the Bible to see just how God has revealed himself to people all throughout the course of the biblical story. Thirdly, God most reveals himself through the person of Jesus Christ, or the incarnation of Jesus Christ, who in the Gospel of John says is the Word of God. Jesus embodies all of the truth of God together with all of the grace of God, is John's reminder to us. But fourthly, the enduring revelation of God for us is His Word. And that's the Spirit brings that to us. And we're going to expand more on this idea of revelation in 2 weeks' time. In 2 weeks' time. In verse 13, he goes on to say, "This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by God, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words." The Spirit of God also brings inspiration of God's truth. Moses, Jeremiah, David, or they're among several Old Testament authors who report that they were given direct command from God to write all these things which I'm speaking to you. Write them down in this book. And Paul here echoes those thoughts by affirming that his writings are a result of the inspiration of the Holy Spirit as well. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter that we just finished reading, says in chapter 1, he goes on later, he says, "Now these have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven." This idea of inspiration, God moving inside of people to make that difference, is the means by which the awareness of God's truth is recorded. Inspiration is important because it extends our learning beyond our five senses, beyond our need, our capacity to control it, beyond our field of knowledge or experience. Inspiration applies only, though, here's what's important, only to the original documents of the apostle or the prophet. How many people are holding an original Bible in their hand? None of you, right? Neither am I. They don't give me one of those either. It doesn't include our modern translations. And so there's going to be some discrepancy no matter what modern translation we use in terms of how accurately the original documents have been translated for us to be able to read. That's what makes the discovery of the Dead Sea Scrolls 60, 70 years ago now so significant. We're going to talk more about that in a couple weeks' time as well. If the scriptures are inspired, then we should value them as the copy of God's will for all humanity. We should value that. If the scriptures are inspired, then we should believe them. If they're inspired by the Holy Spirit, given to us because they have an internal purpose, because they're spoken out of love, then we should believe them, not rationalize against them. If the scriptures are inspired, then we should seek to conform our living to them and give thanks to God for them. How we approach God's word should change. There should be a humility before us instead of a need. Some of us come with a desire to master whatever is in there instead of to be taught and to be mastered by it. If the scriptures are inspired, then we should be prepared to contend for the truth that they convey, and that we should be willing to share that. There's almost a tightening that happens within me whenever people have the opportunity to share, just simply share God's truth. And they let that go. And it happens when I know I've done that, and it happens when I see others do that as well. And the last thing I want you to take note of today is that the Spirit of God provides the illumination of God's truth. Look at the end of this chapter. It says, "The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ." And so sometimes we can think, maybe I can just read this. I don't have to. One of the struggles that you might have is you haven't given yourself fully to God in this. And so understanding the capacity to understand God's truth is not yours, because what we know from reading the Bible, from God's disclosure to us, is when we place our faith in Christ, when we acknowledge that we are sinners and we accept the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ, God gives us the gift of His Holy Spirit as a deposit, an indication of so much more to come. And what we read here is that part of what the Spirit does for us is to help us communicate with God, to understand His Word, and not just in its truth, but also in its grace as it applies to our lives and through our lives to others. I think these are important things for us to consider. Now, let me ask you this. Are you happy? Are you good? As you go into this year, do you think, yeah, you know what? I'm good. I don't need to make any changes. I'm good enough. But if you're like me, you know who you are. You know that there's stuff in there that always needs to be at work. In Peter, in his second letter, he says this. He says, his divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his glory and goodness. He's given us everything we need. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desire. And as you apply yourself to knowing God's word, to knowing the God who gives the word, here he says what you can expect. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness mutual affection, and to mutual affection love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from past sin. Therefore, brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and your election, for if you do these things, you will never stumble, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I don't, you know, one of the things that's always very humbling to me is that I'm up here most every Sunday, and I meet with people all the time through the week, and I feel sometimes that, God, there's got to be a different way, and yet he reminds me that there really is no different way. And if you do a poll and kind of filter through, I'm okay saying this because I don't think anybody will ever do it. If you go back through all my messages that are available online, they really all come down to this. Does your life belong to Jesus? And are you in God's word? Does your life belong to Jesus and you're in God's word? Because unless those two things are established, then it makes it really hard to deal with everything else. And now if your life does belong to Jesus and you are in God's word, then just trust him. Because it's amazing. We don't always get the opportunity to look 30 years in the rearview mirror, but it's incredibly powerfully humbling and amazing. And many of you can look back much longer than that. And I'm thankful for that. That God is faithful. Sometimes we want the big demonstration. And sometimes we are quick to pronounce that God is good when things are going our way or we get what we want. But I love the reminder from little me that God is good even when things are crappy. And I can trust him in it. And I'm thankful for what he's been doing in our lives because of it. And so let me encourage you, does your life belong to Jesus? And are you in God's word? What does this even look like anyway? And I find it really hard to talk about some of that, so I'm going to make somebody else do that. And so I want you to watch this video.
Hi, my name is Christine Giffen, and I wanted to share with you about my spring story when I took my radiation treatment in London this summer. The biggest was the first day when I was so scared about it all. And it was just, when I look back, the next day I actually wrote a journal entry about kind of all the unknown about the radiation, the hotel, the roommates, and just seeing how God went before me, and that the unknowns, that we were, unknown is scariness, right? and they became opportunities to look back and see God's faithfulness. There's a gentleman there that was waiting for the shuttle bus. It was actually outside, not on the bus. And it was just kind of how we tend to ask people, how are you doing? How's it going, right? And, you know, most people say fine, but I was quite surprised when he actually opened up and shared with me how stressed out and anxious he was about his situation. And that's when I found out that it was his second lung. And, like, I kind of shared with him how when I was anxious, I would read the Psalms, especially at nighttime when I couldn't sleep and that. And then he says, well, what Psalms? And I suggested Psalms 23, wanting to find a common one that I thought everybody would know. And I started, and he kind of had a puzzled look on his face, and it's hearing as well. And I started saying it, yeah, you know it. And I started saying it, and he started saying it right along with me. And I said, well, see, you'd be surprised. I find that help, and I hope it works for you too. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me has always been one of my favorite verses. But I think that through this cancer experience, I think I was trying to avoid all the uncomfortable situations, maybe, you know? And I was very relieved when I didn't have to take radiation treatment. And then when I got called back that they had found more cancer and that they thought I should have radiation, I felt a little bit like, yeah, see, you knew it was too good to be true, didn't you? But what God showed me when I went back and revisited that verse was it's the strength that comes from Him. And so it was me trusting Him to give me the strength every day and not to be afraid and to trust Him that He had all things in control and that He would give me the daily strength that I know. I was never quite sure when the machine was hitting me, so as I was waiting, I was always praying, Lord, just heal my body, you know, and thinking of that verse, be still and know that I'm God. Well, I did that for the first 2 weeks, and it was kind of the same repetition prayer, and then one of the devotions that morning had kind of made me more aware of that I was being a little bit self-centered in that all these people were going through a lot more, and even the people that were working with us. And so I started the third week starting to pray for the technicians that were working on me and asking them how their day was going and just being a little more sensitive to those people because it was pretty much the same ones on a pretty regular basis. And I wanted to, if I could, make their day brighter. I think that I would say, you know, it's okay to be afraid. That's normal. That's human. But I think that when we admit to our fears and then we put them in God's hands, He turns them into good stories. He turns them into faith experiences. So not to be afraid of what might come because God is in control and something good is going to come out of it. I think sometimes when we're there in the middle of it all, I'm doing it, I'm praying for them, and then it's like I come home and you get on with your day-to-day life and you kind of forget about some of those people. And so that's this week I heard from two of them, one by email, one by text, and I thought, yeah, you know, Christine, your job is not done yet. Like, you know, when God puts people in our lives for a purpose, right? So see what happens.
How the music team come up. And so that's thanks to Christine Giffen for sharing her story with us and the importance of God's word anchoring us in the midst of difficulty and then to be able to allow God's word to be used through us and how does that affect others. The word of God and the testimony. Why do we need the Bible? So much, so many reasons. And this morning we just touched very briefly on seven benefits of knowing God's word. And I trust that you, if you've already placed your faith in Christ, that you will grow deeper in your love and your affection for who God is because of the way in which He has lovingly communicated to you through His word. Father, thank you for your grace towards us. Thank you for speaking to us so personally through your word. Thank you that over the course of so many years, through so many different authors, you communicate that you desire us to be with you. Forgive us for neglecting your word. Forgive us for ignoring it, for rationalizing it away, for trying to squeeze it into our will. Father, free us to experience the depth of love that you have for us. Give us new eyes as we open it afresh this week. Give us a new desire to learn instead of to master. Father, use us as willing stewards to share your word with others as well. We commit all this to you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.